Well, whose stupid idea was it for me to preach on this last day? Yeah, this is going to be bad. Oh my gosh. Guys, thank you so much for that. My family keeps it just like, because we're family, right? And so I know that our boys are excited about being at the head tables. They can watch me closer, watch me cry and make fun of me as we go to camp today. So that'd be great. My eyes do look better. Yeah. By the way, just if you ever do this, don't get skin tags removed off your eyes 6 days before you leave. Not a good idea, Ingrid. That's all right. But hey, it's done. We had insurance. That's good. So I'm going to share with you just really briefly as we just continue on in our series in Ephesians and how appropriate your life in the family. That's what we are. We're a family. And what a privilege for us to have been not only a part of the family for the last 7.5 years, but for the arms of our family to get a little bit wider, as they did with Eric in Moore, South Carolina, as they will for us now at Camp Awana in Fredonia, just a couple hours away. And it's just there's the body of Christ, there's just nothing like it. Absolutely nothing like it. Blessed to be a blessing. God gives us so much, and as we're going to look for just a couple of minutes today in Ephesians 1, 7 to 10, God's got a great plan, and his plan is absolutely best. So would you pray with me? Father God, again, we're so grateful for your love for each one of us, and so grateful that you don't discriminate, you don't kick anybody out, you allow us, Father, to be a part of your family, and you don't force that. You allow us to choose that, and so, Father, thank you for that. Thank you that you chose us before the foundations of this world to be in a relationship with you. And so, Father, even again, as we look this special morning together, I thank you for it. I thank you for the love. I thank you for our family. Thank you for the joy that we can have together. But again, Father, may you be first and foremost the centerpiece of everything we're shooting for today, Lord. Again, that you would receive all the glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So stay with me in these slides if you again, I'll be in Ephesians 1, 7 to 10, but I'm going to kind of not race through it, but we're going to go at a good clip. Ephesians 1, 7 to 10 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven, and things on earth." As we're working through this series, again, as a part of the family, we have this big idea, right? And as we continue to set our minds on experiencing the fullness of God as part of his family, the things of life find their place in his ultimate plan. The fact that God has a plan for all of us, I think sometimes we lose focus of that, or sometimes we could also go to the other extreme and we get so focused on the details and the minutia of all of this that it's like we sometimes lose sight of God's great plan of redeeming mankind, redeeming us, allowing us to have a relationship with him that allows everybody to have that choice. And so again, from the very beginning, it was always God's plan to build this sweet community of the body. Isn't it amazing that, like, and again, as I see those pictures, did I ever have hair? I never did. My 5 head, 6 head, whatever it became, it's just like, yeah. But you see those great memories, and yeah, it's awesome for the feelings and all of those things that brings up. But that community that we have is the body of Christ. That we, again, we're blessed so we could be a blessing. Because is there not more room in our family for others? And again, God's got his arms open wide, and he allows us to be a part of that plan. So first of all, again, so it's planned by the Father. God has a plan for it. It's planned. It was from the beginning of time that God put this whole plan in motion to bring us, to allow us the opportunity to be reconciled with him. And we see that in those first 6 verses in Ephesians 1. And then from that, in 7 through 12, so he's got this plan, but then we're purchased by the Son. That freedom, when we often see, like with our veterans, that freedom is not free, it wasn't free for him either. He gave us that incredible Son of his, Jesus Christ, to die in our place so that we could be redeemed. So we were purchased by the Son. And then third is preserved by the Spirit. Preserved by the Spirit. And we see that in the rest of Ephesians 1. And we're going to focus on just that, Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. First of all, we're redeemed by Jesus. Amen to that? That we were bought back. We were created to have a relationship with Him. And it was just funny. I was just sharing this with somebody in the conversation. And I just said, now just follow me with this. I said, okay, if truly we're God's creation, okay, and you believe that, He created us, and then we wander away because of our own sin. And then what does He do the next? He's like, I still want to have a relationship. So what can I? I'll send my Son to die for you and purchase your freedom by my Son's blood. And I remember saying to this person, I said, what does God have to do? What more can He do to be able to offer that to us? He can't do any more. He gave us it. So because we're redeemed by His Son. We're redeemed by Jesus. What does that mean? He paid the ransom with the blood of Christ. He paid our ransom. We're held captive by sin. We're entrenched. We're captives. He paid that price by ransoming us, paying that ransom. He removed the curse from the law, and even again, releasing us from the bondage of sin into the freedom of grace. So many times we chase after what we think is right in our own eyes. Isn't that a dangerous thing? Seems like such a great thing, but it's like short fulfillment. It's like going to Great America and living on cotton candy for the day. Sounds great at first. Tastes really good. And so all of a sudden you hit that third ride and you're just like, I'm going to puke. I just can't. This, you know, and it sounded great at the beginning. And then it's like, who needs real food? Yeah, we do, you know. But again, we're redeemed by Christ and God allows us to have that relationship. But again, it costs Him a price. You were not redeemed, First Peter tells us, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Redeemed by Jesus. Second, He lavished His grace upon us. In Ephesians, we see again, God is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. He's lavished us. Do you ever get to that point where you just feel like, man, I'm at a bust. I've gotten so much. That's how, like, when my heart has felt like being here. I can't have received any more. And it was interesting to me as I was packing in my office and getting all these things set, and you just racing through all of those memories, right? And Fred used to say, when we used to have that like new members class, and he would always go, you know, now I get to come to work every day with my friends, and they actually pay me to do this. Does it get any better than that? You know? And I'm just thankful for how much I felt so lavished out with His grace, not only here, but that's, I think, only when you look at that in comparison to what God can lavish on us and the blessings and the fact that we get to spend eternity with Him, it doesn't get much better than that. Come on. It's part three. So again, what do we have in this? His plan brings it all together. He made known to us, Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under our head, one head, even Christ. The fact that it's all going to come together, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is God. I was visiting with a friend, and I remember him just kind of being bold and not saying it in like an angry or like demonstrative way. He just said, and I knew you have to contact, I have a decent relationship with him, but he said to me, he goes, I don't really believe in God. And I don't know where this came from out of my mouth. Well, consider the source. But and I said, well, you will when you die. And he just goes, oh. And the thing, what then we talked about it a little bit more because of this verse. That at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and tongue confess. When God unites us all together under His headship, again, every knee will bow. Everyone will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm praying that that happens in this lifetime for everybody, right? That they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because then it'll be too late after that. And so I'm praying for that for my friend as well as for some of my family members. In Colossians 1, 16 to 17, it says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." God's got a plan in all of this. And I'm not going to get down to those nitty-gritty details because God had it all worked out. God knew what his plan was for us. We didn't know this. I mean, as a lot of you have heard as we've said goodbye and different things. As of July 31st or July 30th, I thought we were good. I mean, and I was just like, who knew that that next day would be so fateful? And the progression of things as God has clearly made it obvious that this is exactly what his will is for us. And again, we're not gonna focus on those details because God's got that all worked out. Do we leave Hillcrest in great hands? Yeah. Hillcrest is going to be a fantastic church, as it has been, because this is God's church. God's got a great ministry for us at camp, and that's great, but it's about God's business. It's God's plan, and we're being obedient to that call. It's just funny, consider the source. God uses the foolish things of this world, right? I don't know about shaming the wise. I'm still working on that one, but... So it says again, God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put shame to the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to be put to shame, the things which are mighty, in 1 Corinthians 1. I always tell our kids this because, to go back to as a freshman in high school, when I'm 4'11 and a half and 71 pounds, that's terrible. That wind that just knocked me down, it's just like, it was ridiculous. And I never really knew. And you always try to compensate because I'm just like, man, I'm such this little guy, and I hated that, but it was just like, I never understood what God's plan was. And I always tell our students, God isn't just preparing or again, has created you for like here and now. He also knows what you're becoming, right? He's got that plan. And to be able to see this, and it's not a testimony to me, it's a testimony to the Lord of his faithfulness. As we stay obedient and submissive to his will, and it's about his glory, not ours, that all of a sudden it's like, okay, wow, God can really use me. And I've seen that over and over again with stories and the way people work in the lives of our kids, our children, our adults, and our leaders. And I don't think there's any better posture to come before God and to say, hey, listen, I don't have any ability. It's not my ability. It's not my strengths. I'm simply making myself available for you to use. You use me again accordingly, Lord, and may you receive all the praise and the glory. God uses the unlikely. And so when I looked at that passage and I thought those three, and I saw those three things where I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm covered. I'm lavished in grace. And I'm doing this for his plan because that's what God said to me. And when I say go, and I go back in my testimony, when Ingrid and I met at Moody in 1982, September 1st, we started dating. And I always say that began the three best years of my life. And we've never looked back since. Stop that. But I tell you, I love my wife. I love our family. I love our grandkids. I love my Hillcrest family. And that doesn't change. And God made us a family. And I saw this. I thought this was kind of a cool thing. God made us a family, a special caring part of all that's near and very dear and closest to the heart, together on life's journey, each day a memory. Thank you, God, for making us a loving family. Why? Randy Elkhorn said it better than I could ever. Although our control is limited, we know that God isn't, and that everything will work out for his glory and our good. This isn't goodbye, it's just see you later, truly. And you're going to be like, I think the first time you see us in November or whenever we get to come back, you'll be like, did you ever leave? No, that U-Haul caravan that's out and sitting in front of my house is just a facade. It's an amazing thing to be able, when God knits the hearts of our lives together, that we get to do things like this together, that we get to celebrate. We get to celebrate the journey. And again, not about us. Never, never, ever may it be about us, but the fact that we join in this as friends and as family, and we can love each other, whether we're right here or 120 miles away or on the other side of the world, God's got a great plan. He's got a great plan for our church, And I'm just thankful to have been a part and to continue to be a part of it and you with me. I love all of you very much, and praise God for you. Thank you.